The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In.
You have always been a voice of reason through all of this.
Appreciate your time, what you're doing for America.
I give you advice, and it doesn't work at all.
You are definitely not inept by any means.
I like to hear women say that about me.
Whatever advice you're going to send my way, I am 100% taking it.
I can't tell you what to do. I will not tell you what to do.
Okay. Well, thanks.
That wasn't the answer I wanted.
Are you kidding me?
Great stuff, Dr. Ray. I'm glad I called.
I've scheduled my day around listening to your radio show.
You don't have to laugh so hard.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Emotionally peaking. All biorhythms, all known biorhythms, in sync, aligned with Jupiter and Mars. Formerly with Pluto, till it got the boot. Then it was reinstated, then it got the boot again. A Mickey Mouse move. Good to have you with me. This is The Doctor Is In, and I'm privileged, for sure, to get to be here with you. Some many, many, many years now, along with my cohorts over there in Ann Arbor. Andrew Kruchek, producer man, Eric Dumont, call screamer man. Number to call is 877-57-EQUAL. I just skipped right over the numbers. I'll give you the acronyms. 877-57-EQUAL. Question about something in your life. Usually it's another person in your life. Perhaps a circumstance you're struggling with. Something that you feel that, don't say feel, Raymond. You think that you could have handled better. Something you just want to bounce off someone, meaning me, because I'm the host of the show. Perhaps you've got something you can give to another caller that's very helpful. We get a lot of those. That's very nice of you people to do that. Perhaps a suggestion. And I want you to know, in the interest of complete transparency, I steal your suggestions. I put them in books and I make a lot of money. And I just want to say thank you. Very nice of you. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm a clinical psychologist. Been one for quite some time. I don't want to say how old I am, but my most recent birthday cake had 50 candles on it. And that was the piece I had. So, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. This was sent to me, as so many of you kind folks do. you're like a large wire service that I have out there. This is from Tony. He says, the Surgeon General finally admits it. Now, I went over to watch this video, so I do not have the transcript of the video. Here's the summary, and I will tell you what I remember from watching the video. Surgeon General of the United States says, quote, not enough evidence for us to say that social media is, in fact, sufficiently safe for our kids. Now, you look at that and you think, well, that's kind of a weasel statement. Not enough evidence to say it's sufficiently safe. But then they go on. We found increasing evidence that social media use is associated with harm for our kids. Last night, I can't believe I saw this. Watching a little series on TV. A commercial came on that essentially said social media is harming the mental health of our children. Now, they chose to focus upon a young girl who looked like she was about 13 when she got her first smartphone. Just your basic, sweet-looking, average, zest-filled adolescent girl. And as she found her way through social media, and she kept scrolling and doing the average 3.5 hours that teens spend on social media per day, she got caught up in an eating disorder and progressively had to be, at least according to the commercial, and supposedly this was a legitimate case, had to be hospitalized. So they were talking about this from the perspective of anorexia. However, there is research coming in from everywhere, and the Surgeon General's finally admitting it. Why does it take them so long? That's the question. You know, the average parent can look at a smartphone and say, you know what, this isn't good for my kid. This is, they're retreating into a different world. They're not present. I don't like some of the thoughts they're having. They're getting sexually confused. What is going on? The average parent sees this. The Surgeon General finally comes out and says, oh, yeah, well, you know, the indication is, there's research here that, this could really hurt kids. Wow. Took them long enough. There's no end to the litany of troubles that early smartphone use can cause. They asked him, they said, what about your own kids? Now he's got a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old or 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And he came home and he said he was shocked at his 5-year-old coming from school said, I want to post a picture on social media. And he said, we don't even talk about social media in our house. Where'd you get that idea? And if I could have talked to him, I'd have said, well, she's in school. And a lot of her classmates are already being occupied by that. So he was asked, when will you give your children? He said something to the effect of, well, at least after middle school, which would be 12, 13. That's crazy early. Crazy early. That's when it starts. I mean, most kids are getting it a lot earlier than that, but that's crazy early. And then he said, then we'll kind of decide what the research says as they move into high school. Well, one, the research is getting pretty clear. It's all over the place. Go look at stuff by a woman named Jean Twenge. And two, you don't need research as a parent to look at this and say, okay, I don't like this. What's happening here? But again, in one of the books that I wrote was called Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, and I talked about how to navigate and eliminate the profound soul misshaping influence of our modern technological culture on your children. I talk about it. And I spend the first couple of chapters talking about how parents can so easily be swept along because they figure if they don't, who knows the psychological repercussions upon their children, the social repercussions, the isolation, the resentment. I guess in parenting, so much of it is weighing. You weigh it. If you say, well, if I do this, these kinds of consequences are going to occur. But then you have to ask, if I don't do that, what kind of consequences are going to occur? Parents will say to me, I don't want my child to have a smartphone. She's in the 8th grade. She is the only one in her class who doesn't have one. And I'm getting unbelievable pressure, not only from her, but from every relative within 50 miles of our house. And I'll say, okay, so what will you do? Will you yield? Okay, and hope that you don't have some complications. Now, obviously, you have many other options. You can link your phone up. You can pair your phone up so you can see everything that goes in her phone. You can do that. You can get a different kind of smartphone. You can get a Wise phone. You can get a phone without an internet. Of course, they go crazy on that one. Ew! What's it do? Does it bite? How do you start it? Where's the crank? So you can take advantage of other options. Unfortunately, my experience has been that the percentage of parents who take advantage of other options is under 1%. And I think, again, that reflects that is indeed the pressure on parents to go with the crowd. Well, I think this is an encouraging sign. Encouraging sign. In the interview, the Surgeon General basically said, we need to really look into this. We need to start looking at the ill effects on the emotional well-being of these young people with unlimited, unfettered access to social media. I had to be kicking and screaming, dragged to social media. I didn't want any part of it. I didn't want to say, well, here's me eating a sandwich. By the way, did I tell you that when I was in third grade, I fell off my bike and I skinned my knee? Well, I'm telling you that now because we didn't have social media then for me to tell you. And I was convinced that, okay, I could use social media to offer thoughts and ideas to help people. That's nice. And here and there, we sprinkle in a few kind of, okay, here's something about what I'm dealing with or what I'm looking at. Or like we've just put out something on social media for our upcoming couple months from now, good Lord permitting, TV show tapings in Columbus. And that helps because people see it on social media and they go, yeah, I would like to go to that. So that, in essence, can be a wonderful thing. But in the hands of teens, easily lends itself to abuse. Okay. Thank you, Surgeon General. I'm hoping this begins to turn the tide so more and more parents have enough strength to say, this isn't good and I don't want to do it. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
This program is brought to you in part by MyLifeAngels.com. MyLifeAngels provides peace of mind by notifying you the moment a loved one enters an emergency room. Right on your smartphone, you'll have instant access to everything needed, including all legal documents, to ensure you are empowered to protect their life-affirming wishes. MyLifeAngels also alerts hospital ER staff with critical medical information and emergency contacts. More information at MyLifeAngels.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org. I want one of those jobs, which I think I have, where people ask, do you actually get paid for doing this? Yep. I'm going to start charging Ave and EWGN by the word. Talk as fast as I can. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Now, Natalie did something that... Oh, all right. She did something that most people don't do, and that is when they write an e-person and I ask them to call the show, they don't. She did. So I am very pleased with Mom here. Let me just give you a quick backdrop. Mom is wrestling with a situation on where to place her daughter for school. This is significant. She said, I talked to a therapist in the past who made the comment that someone like my daughter, who is already a little bit on the more rebellious side, could go off the deep end. This is what these therapists do so often. If I control and oppress her too much at home, oh, man, control and oppress. Why? Because you got rules and standards. And also send her to a similar school. So, mom is nervous about this. She's figuring, okay, this is where I think she should go to school, but what if I make a mistake? Hi, mom, how are you?
I'm great, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, okay. You've sized up the situation, and as I read your e-person, and I think I briefly wrote back to you saying, I sensed in between the lines there's some discipline problems here.
Yes.
Okay, because you didn't really mention that in the e-person so much as the initial reason was you're kind of confused about which school she should go to.
Right. She's always been challenging and headstrong, but she's always been confident. She's very smart and does well at school and always outgoing. But since changing to this other school, that's when I started to notice the problems. So I thought that, you know, surely it has to do with the school. But then I would seek advice and people would say, well, that's just typical 12-year-old behavior. You know, that's why things have changed. It's because that's her age.
Mom, didn't you mention something to the effect that she's put several holes in your bedroom walls?
Yes, sir. Yes, she's...
That's not typical 12-year-old.
Right. So when that started to happen, we did seek this counselor, who said that's not typical. But basically the advice was just to, give her other ways to express her anger.
Give her a different hammer? Give her a different hammer, maybe? Yeah, okay.
Right, because, those are things that she just has, and maybe there's some other issues behind that.
Mom, do you have any other children?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I have one son who's 15.
And he is definitely a different child-rearing experience.
For sure. He's very easygoing and chill. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Where do I go? I suspect one of the dynamics that we're dealing with is your son shaped your parenthood. And you thought, okay, now this is, I'm pretty good. I'm an educated person. I can handle this. He's pretty easy. Things are going pretty smooth. And then the second kid came along who was normal. However, by comparison, headstrong, use that word. Strong-willed, I'm sure you've used that word. Rebellious side, you've used that word. So as you see your daughter, you think, oh, boy, she's tough. Well, she may not be tough at all. She may just be tough compared to your son.
Right.
But what happened was, and I don't know this because I'm not in your home, Mom, but I see this over and over and over and over again in my office, is that a parent got a little shell-shocked by the tougher kid and developed some struggles in discipline, in really controlling this kid. And then, on top of that, they started to second-guess themselves. Well, if I do this, how will she react? If I do this, what will I bring on? If I do this, could it push her over the deep end like the therapist said? If I do this, and then that only makes it worse because you don't act like a parent. Now, you said a significant thing in your line here. Where was this? I got to find this. I'm fearful that she will resent me for all the rules. Now, Mom, I'm going to say something to you. I don't think you have all the rules. As a matter of fact, I don't think you're that authoritative at all on the basis of what you wrote. But apparently you have these rules, but you have a hard time enforcing them.
Yep, that sounds right.
And then you said she'll turn her back on her family and her faith. Now, you just really ratcheted up the stakes. If I make a decision as a parent that she doesn't like and she gets resentful, now she's going to turn her back on God. Okay, talk about putting a pressure on you. All right? All right. So far, so good, huh? Now, the previous school, something to the effect, I got to find it in the line because it was a long e-person, that you didn't like where she was going to school right now because she's easily influenced and she gets dragged toward a badder crowd.
Yes.
Okay. Well, as a parent, if you say, just like I talked about my monologue, if I pull her out of this school and put her where I think is a better school, she's going to be mad. She's going to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she's going to react. I don't know what she's going to do. On the other hand, if I leave her where she is, very likely she's gonna link up with kids who are going to pull her off. So you got to decide which is worse. Really, that's your decision. But I'll say this, Mom. When parents are afraid to make decisions that they know in their gut are the right things to do, but they fear the child's reaction, very hard to be a parent.
Right.
Very hard.
Yeah, that's spot on, because I do second guess a lot in a lot of things. And I just, I'm previously married. We went through a divorce when she was younger. And I guess part of that does impact the way I parent, because I don't want to, I guess, you know, mess them up. I worry that the decisions I make will have this huge impact in a negative way. And I don't know, I guess.
When you second guess yourself like this, it's almost impossible to be a parent.
Yeah.
Because your whole parenthood is surrounded by making decisions. Some of them work out, some of them don't. Some of them create a reaction in your child that's shell-shocking. But then on the other hand, if you don't make that decision, now you're really risking problems.
Right.
So I obviously can't tell you what to do. However,
well, what would you do about the holes in the wall?
Well, first of all, she'd pay for all of it. I'd bring in a drywaller who would replace all that, and she's going to pay for all of it. Secondly, I'm going to get that money from her however I can, whether it's birthdays, whether it's Christmas, whether it's a retirement account, whatever it is. If, in fact, she doesn't have the money, then I find her possessions that I take.
Okay.
Comparable to the cost. Now, that's what I would do. I'm not telling you what to do, because I'll tell you what, you do something like that, your daughter's going to go crazy on you. Because
well, that is what we're doing, actually. That
okay.
Is, she's working service hours right now.
There you go.
To pay
good
it
move.
Off. And then we,
good move.
Yeah, so.
And I would tell her, if you ever do anything like that again, it's not going to be service hours. You're going to be shut down for a month, and I'm going to take your two favorite possessions. One other thing, Mom, just as an aside light, touching upon my opening monologue. Does she have a smartphone?
She does not.
Good for you. All right.
And we don't want to give
got
her
that
one,
victory.
That's one thing she hates for sure.
Oh, of course. Because if you go to a therapist, that therapist is going to tell you to give her a smartphone. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That therapist is going to say to you, just even as the Surgeon General came out and said, this is not good for kids. The therapist is going to say, well, you know, she's going to feel oppressed.
Yes.
you know what you need to do? Well, you don't need to do anything. But it would help me make a sale. I have a book called Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World. And I talk about all these influences, peers, media, all of the stuff. And I talk about parental self-confidence, going against that crowd,
mm-hmm.
and how parents can get swept along. It's on my website. It's as I understand it, it's a very popular selling book. Apparently it touches a chord with a lot of parents in this audience anyway. So I would suggest that, because it'll certainly give you a lot more ideas than I can just give you in this short call.
Well, I will definitely get it. And I have to say, I've been listening to your old episodes one after another, and it has made me feel a lot more confident in my parenting, because, like I said, I do second guess a lot. And since it is so countercultural, it makes me feel like I'm not doing the right thing. But since listening to you, I've felt more confident in those things, and that I'm not so crazy after all. I'm doing it right. So,
Mom, let me leave you with this question. Given your morals and your worldview, are you not countercultural? Are you actually of the same morals and values that this culture is? Because if you're not, you're going to be countercultural. There you are. Thank you for the call, my dear. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. I want to talk to you. Give me a call if you if you will.
The Archbishop of Detroit, Alan Vigneron, published a little booklet called The Beauty of Truth, and it deals with this very question of words and the use of words. And it's a great sorrow, the Archbishop points out, when the quantity of words being expressed is at an all-time high, and the consequences of ill-used words are causing more harm to the cause of truth and the good of the human soul than maybe ever before. Are we part, as they say, are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? Are we constantly carping about society, church, media, police? Because if so, we're gonna have to go out of our way to demonstrate this kind of patience with one another, to let people think through things rather than, you know, immediately slam them with, I've got the answer for you, buddy. Words matter.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Why does the Catholic Church value virginity? At the heart and center of all Christian life is Christ the Lord. The Catechism tells us that our bond with Christ takes precedence over all bonds, familial or social. From the Church's very beginning, there have been men and women who have forsaken marriage to follow the Lamb wherever he leads them. Christ himself has invited certain persons to follow him in this way of life, for which he remains the model. Virginity for the sake of the kingdom is an unfolding of baptismal grace, a powerful sign of the supremacy of a person's bond with Christ. It is also a sign that this bond recalls that marriage is a reality of this present age, which is passing away. St. John Chrysostom puts it well, "The most excellent good is something even better than what is admitted to be good." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Easy listening, kind of 1970s sitcom music. Nice to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Garetti. Program, Doctor is in. All right, some good calls up there. Please be patient. I want to get to you. Julie from Cincinnati, Sacred Heart Radio. What is the average age? Well, I'll let Julie ask that. Hi, Julie.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
So,
can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, you're coming through clear. Okay. When you say they estrange themselves, you talking young adult kids?
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, I have two children out of five that have done that to us, these boundaries, and until you change, we're not coming back. But then I was having lunch with a bunch of my girlfriends, and almost every single one of them has the same thing happening, and it's just like...
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's an epidemic.
What is going on in...
It is an epidemic.
Okay.
And I mentioned this a few weeks back. Dennis Prager has a radio show, kind of a conservative individual, and he brought it up. He had this topic come up on one of his national radio shows, and he was shocked. He said, this is a phenomenon that is epidemic. It is everywhere that these young adults, usually late teens into the 20s, they decide that their parents are just people that need to be avoided because you didn't raise them well, because they don't like your faith, because they look back at all the supposed wounds that they experienced at your hands that were all too human. And it's just, it's intense. This is, this is probably the number one referral I now get from older parents who come to me and say, what happened? And these are not bad people. You know, Julie, these are not people who were, you look at and go, man, I'll tell you what, you were given a couple kids and you really messed it up. No, these were people who in their humanness tried their very best. And typically, and I can't be sure about this, but if I was in grad school, I think I would do a survey on this. Typically, it's the religious parents who are more likely to see their children turd from them. Because when the culture says religion is stupid, religion is a throwback, religion is stifling, religion is bad, the kids go, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's what my parents are like. I better get rid of them, too.
Hmm.
Yep. By the way, just a quick question. No, that's dumb to say. See, I shouldn't say that. That's really a dumb thing to say, just a quick question. Because I'm going to ask you a question. It's like saying, let me ask you a question. You know, you get these guys are interviewers, and they're getting paid millions of dollars a year on these cable news shows. And I can't count how many times they say, let me ask you a question. Well, let me ask you this. And I want to go, you're an interviewer. What do you mean, let me ask you a question? I just did it. So, that said, Julie, of the two kids of the five who have temporarily, at least, written you off, have either one of them gone to a therapist?
One.
Well, I figured at least one, because typically therapists have a hand in listening to the sense of maladjustment that these young adults have. And, of course, the people most responsible for their maladjustments are mom and or dad. The typical therapist will say something like, well, you know, that sounds like a toxic relationship. It sounds like something that, you know, you really might want to put some distance right now while you adjust and you find out what you really want to think about all this and how you should interact. I mean, I can't tell you how many adult parents have told me that their young adults have gone to therapists and been told, separate from your parents.
Well, I'm not sure that was it. Our home was a it was kind of rough raising the kids on the same page.
Oh, Julie, you're breaking up there. Can you come in a little more clear? Oh boy, you're breaking up. Can you try again? Oh, Julie's gone. There you go. Yeah, she must have been traveling and moving into an. It's either that or it's me. That's what I sound like anyway. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. Hi, Cecilia. Cecilia from Houston, Texas, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. You go. There you go.
How are you?
All righty, my dear. So you got a 16-year-old that's giving you some real rebellion stuff, huh?
Yeah, she's. I'm really concerned because she's always been kind of happy, very good kid, very good nature. But in the last, I would say, since she started high school, things start going bad, but not so severely. But right now, her self-esteem, her... everything. She started lying, sneaking things, doing things around. I find like a little electronic thing that they smoke. She swear that was somebody else gave it to her. She failed 6 classes. The teacher told me she's hardly highly intelligent.
Whoa.
But she's just not engaged. She's like, don't care. And
who's she hanging with? Cecilia, who's she hanging with? Who is she hanging around with?
I'm always with her. Besides when she goes to school, she goes to swimming, we go to church. I'm always with her. I'm kind of very close to see who she hangs out. She has a few friends that bring over very occasionally, a couple times a year, or I let her go swim with them, or, you know. But I'm always, they good kids. I think she's just, like, lonely and they start looking people kind of on Instagram or something.
So you say like, she does have a smartphone and she does spend a lot of time on it.
She does have a smartphone, unfortunately. I take it away like a couple times for a month or something, and she does better. And unfortunately, I just give it back to her. But I'm really considering just take it away completely.
You said I take it away for a month and she does better.
Yes.
But then you give it back.
Unfortunately.
Do you feel pressure to give it back?
Well, because she tells me, oh, we have a group chat and that we do, you know, homework and group, and then we have to meet to do this assignment, you know, which I don't know. I don't think it's that much.
What if you told her your smartphone is completely dependent upon, I mean, you said she's failing 6 classes. That's pretty big. So obviously she's interested in something else besides school. So what if you told her your smartphone is completely dependent upon good grades, good behavior, no lying? What would happen?
Well, I did that actually this year. This summer we was going to learn how to drive, and we have an older car that was going to pass on her. And I did tell her, you're not going to have the car. You're not going to drive until you prove to me that you're responsible enough. And honestly, I don't think she cared much.
Well, that's not unusual. That's not unusual because she's not driving, so she really doesn't know what she's missing. But I'm talking about the other areas of her life right now. Cecilia, I'm going to let you go. I'll make a few comments after the break independently. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825, 877-5070, equal. Stay with me.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Some great people have shown respect for God. Can I read you a little quotation from Albert Einstein, who many times showed a great respect for religion and was one of the great admirers of Pope Pius XII for his stand against the Holocaust during the Second World War. Einstein wrote, "The fairest thing we can experience is the mysterious, is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of all true art and science, a knowledge of the existence of something we can't penetrate, of the manifestations of the profoundest reason and the most radiant beauty, which are only accessible to our minds in the most elementary form. It is this knowledge and this emotion that constitute the truly religious attitude." Oh my, so beautifully said.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Jesus Christ, as I say in my book, Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture, is the biggest woman's liberator that ever walked the earth. He was well ahead of his time in the way he related to women, the way he spoke to women, the way he included women in his ministry. If you don't believe me, go to the Gospel of John and read the encounter of the Samaritan woman. Jews did not mix with Samaritans. And yet there Jesus was sitting in a well. The Samaritan woman comes along. And she is coming at the middle of the day because she's living a very, very questionable life. She's coming to the well to avoid the looks and the stares and the comments and the gossip. She comes at midday when pretty much no one be around, except there is God waiting for her at the well.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Thanks for joining me, Dr. Ray Grady here. I told Cecilia I was going to give her a few more thoughts. When a parent says, as Cecilia said, that her daughter up until high school was in a lot of ways much more pleasant, much more content, much more happy, much more cooperative. And then as she moved into high school, she became much, much more difficult. And in her difficulty, which is very common, when the behavior problems start, usually the emotional problems start. I'm dissatisfied with following rules. I'm dissatisfied with authority. I'm dissatisfied with whatever constrictions are placed upon me because of my age, because of requirements. So I get unhappy. I get emotional. I get depressed. I start saying things like I don't like me. So what happens is we tend to look at this and say, gee, her poor self-image is causing misbehavior. In most cases, the misbehavior is leading to a byproduct, which is emotional discontent and unhappiness. If all this began in high school or thereabouts, then Cecilia would do well to start exploring who is she hanging around with at school when Cecilia doesn't know. How much time is she spending on that phone? What kinds of things is she occupying herself with? I mean, she's flunking six classes. That is major significant. So something is going on here that has pulled this girl away from the way she was being raised. And mom's got to try to ferret that out and then make some decisions. Mom said, "Well, I'm not going to let you drive until your grades come up." And the daughter's like, never. Because she hasn't driven yet. She doesn't know. She's not real intent on driving. But there's a whole bunch of other things she's doing that mom has not linked. You know, mom didn't say this, but the daughter has six failing classes. And yet, it sounds like she still has all of her freedom, all of her privileges, her phone, and everything. So where's the connection here? What is, if Cecilia were in my office, I would say, okay, what is stopping you from doing something about this? And typically you will find there are fears. The parent has fears. I'm losing my daughter. I don't know how she'll react. She'll run away. She'll start talking about being depressed. All of this will kick up. And I'm convinced now that for many parents of the older kids, that indeed a new phenomenon has infected parenting the last two generations, which is, if I do make strong parenting decisions, I'm going to mess my kid up. Jennifer from San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, I'm calling because my son is caught in the middle, unfortunately, between my ex and myself, because my ex gives him all the video games he wants to play, and those games are horrible, like Fortnite and Minecraft and all those other games, and I don't let him have any because I know how horrible those games are. And so my son's like, well, how come I don't have any video games? And I'm telling him that the messages in those games are horrible. And when I tell you to stay away from those games, I'm being serious because those messages are just terrible. And yet, like I said, my ex, he's just giving him everything he wants. And so he's kind of stuck in the middle, and I don't know how to handle that.
How old is your son?
Can you give me any thoughts? He's 9.
Whoa! So, oh, my!
And his cousins have all the video games as well. And so he's kind of stuck in the middle. And I feel horrible that he is. But yet those messages that those video games portray are just awful. And you probably know that the further they get into them, the sexuality gets into it.
Especially at age 9.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my guess would be that your son's father has visitation. You are the main custodial parent.
I'm the main, yes.
Your son's father has visitation. So therefore, I want my son to really like me and to really love me. And I'm going to show him how cool I am and how neat I am to give him these things.
Exactly. He wants to be living his life through his son. And that just irritates me because he's wanting everything through his son. And I'm like, no, you are you, and your dad is your dad, and don't let your dad try to change you. So, and,
Jennifer,
you want
the good news or you want the bad news?
What? I'm almost afraid.
What the bad news is, all your beautiful reasoning, and it is going to fall on deaf ears. Because all your little 9-year-old son knows is those games are cool. And I really don't care what mom says because I want to play them. And dad thinks they're okay. And I like dad. So therefore, that's the bad news. The good news is you don't have to have those games at your house and you're 87% of the parenting time, right?
Yes. Thank goodness for that.
Yes, it is. Thank goodness for that. Here's another piece of kind of twisted good news. I have seen Disney dads on weekends ultimately get very frustrated with the child because you can't be permissive like that and have a good relationship. Ultimately, things get very friction-filled. So maybe his dad will come to the conclusion, uh-oh, I've been doing things aren't good. Is there any indication, Jennifer, that dad will listen to you at all?
Oh, no. Oh, no. He's been very abusive, too, to me. And that goes back to what you're talking about with the cell phones, too, is the dad gives him a cell phone that he says is not hooked up to the internet, but I don't know how much I could believe that. And I don't have a cell phone for him, and I'm not going to give him a cell phone. In fact, by the time that he has phone privileges, it'll be a landline. It'll be a magic jack so his friends can talk to him, but it won't be a cell phone.
All right, here's good news.
He won't get a cell phone for a long time.
Here's good news and bad news again.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is you're going to have a hard time competing right now with his dad. Because his dad's attitude is, come on, man, I'm going to let you have a wonderful, wonderful childhood as you as a nine-year-old see it. And mom's gone, no, this isn't good for you. I'm going to put some limits on your freedoms. And this nine-year-old is going to say, whoa, what's with mom? Okay, that's the bad news. But here's the good news. He's going to see that mom is the one you can count on. Mom is the one who's there when he's sick. Mom is the one who takes him somewhere. Mom is the one who cuddles down with him at night when you watch something on TV. Mom is the one who puts him to bed and tucks him in and says prayers. He's going to see that mom is the reliable parent, the one he can count on. Dad, unfortunately, has a misguided idea of what is
very
a good parent.
So
yeah. That's your good news to look forward to. And I'm so sad for you that your ex is doing these kinds of things because, yes, you're absolutely right. It's not going to help. Not going to help your son's makeup. It's not going to help your parenting. However, cling to the idea. You do not compete with your ex. You be who you are. Watch the lectures, though, because ultimately you don't want your son to look at you like, oh, she does this yap at me. My dad lets me do this, and she just yaps and tells me how it's no good. Don't get yourself caught into that dynamic. Just be who you are, what you have to do as a good parent. And those games will not come in your house, and the cell phone will not come in your house. And what will happen is when your dad gives that young man a cell phone and finds out that the kid doesn't pay any attention to him because he's on his cell phone, maybe dad will start to rethink it. God bless you, Jennifer. This is Dr. Ray.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I pray that EWTN News In Depth will help the everyday life of everyday Catholics by bringing them the news that matters to them and helping them to have the information at their fingertips for whatever it is that they need to be able to engage with the world confidently with their faith.
EWTN News In Depth with Montse Alvarado, Friday night, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Do early risers have greater faith? I'm Chuck Gatica, and this is Journey Strong. The answer is yes, and these early morning faith-filled souls also say they are more conscientious and satisfied in life, according to a recent study. You may have heard or seen the expression written that nothing good ever happens after midnight. Apparently, a lot of good happens near dawn. Researchers aren't sure which trait leads to the next or if this is just a big circle of life. Either way, the early birds appear to be more content. The study points out that a routine that includes rising early, attending morning mass, special morning services like those of Easter, may also strengthen the morning riser's wake-up muscles. This can lead to more satisfaction in life, too. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. God wrote that one. Check out the Journey Strong tab for more on this at the homepage of AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values, Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thanks for joining me, Dr. Ray Guarendi here. I will be, good Lord permitting, on June 24th in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. This weekend, I'm heading for Uvalde, Texas. But the reason I mentioned Sioux Falls is because Carol is calling, and she's from Sioux Falls. The talk will be at O'Gorman High School, football field and auditorium. It's an all-day thing. So I'll be speaking two times that day to the folks. Carol, you going to go, or are you just calling me because it's easy?
No, I plan on being there to...
All right.
I saw a flyer, you know, and it said volunteers needed. And I'm like, well, I've been wanting to hear this guy for a while, so what a better way.
You could be disappointed, so just make sure you park close to the event so you can get to your car if you have to leave.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
So you had a disagreement with your daughter-in-law.
Yeah, well, you know, my grandson did something and caused me to react, and so I shamefully I slapped his leg, and my son.
Okay. Let me stop you right there. Just for a quick question, forgive me for doing this, but I'm a psychologist. I can't help it.
Okay.
He didn't cause you to react. You reacted.
I reacted.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't cause it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So anyhow, my son, who was present, called me on the carpet right away and said, you know, we don't react with a negative with another negative. That's not how we do it. And I'm like, okay. And then he scolded his son for you know, what he did. And he said, I want you two to both apologize and make up. And so we did. It was very easy. He's just a darling 8-year-old boy anyhow. And when we got done apologizing and hugging and everything, I looked up and his mother, who was not there, was all of a sudden there. And she was not happy. She was ready to take the boy away and leave the scene. And I wasn't going to sit around and listen to her complain. I grabbed my grandson, and we went off to play some more. And
well, that made her happy.
And, oh, yeah. Well, it was just that I knew what was going to come out of her mouth. You know, how dare she touch my child, that we don't discipline like that.
So what'd you do, spank him or grab him, or what'd you do?
No, I slapped his leg. He had kicked my arm and caused me to spill my water because he was sitting behind me on the grass. I was sitting on a retaining wall.
And so wait, this 8-year old kicked your arm on purpose? On purpose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't know why his leg got in there unless he meant to do it. You know.
Mm-hmm. He didn't say, sorry, Grandma. He didn't say, no, I didn't mean to do that.
Not really. No. So, you know, I just reached back and slapped his leg, and that's when my son corrected me.
Well, apparently...
And, you know, and since all of that, I've even reached out to her to apologize again and to hopefully put this behind us. And it has fallen on deaf ears.
Well, Carol, I don't think that was it. I think if you would ever get a chance to hear what she thinks, you've been bugging her for a long time.
I have that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't the fact that you gave the kid a little crack on the leg. It's the fact that I'm sick and tired of your stepping in. We know how to raise our kid. We don't really need to raise him the same way you raise him, you old-fashioned religious nut.
Yeah. See, I got him involved in religious ed this year, and she was really not...
Yeah, there's just too much you're
doing.
And
my son said, my son gave the approval. And, And then he quickly scheduled swimming lessons the same night. So that
damage control, you probably have radically underestimated these years how she has so much in her mind, swallowed your interference.
Yeah.
And that was just the last hit, so to speak. If you want to do damage control, you probably have to go to her and say, I'm so sorry. This is your child, and I will never again give opinions on how you should raise him. Count on it. Now, at that point, that's not going to soften her. But you have to hope that time softens her and realize this is huge. Realize you no longer can say or do anything that remotely smells like you're giving an opinion on his discipline or their parenting. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate the company. Walk with God. He loves you being around.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.